Perhaps you heard the story of the man who came before the judge accused of theft. The evidence was pretty conclusive against him, so the man attempted a defense we may call unusual. He said, "Your Honor, I didn't steal anything. My hand did." To which the judge said, "All right, I hereby sentence your hand to 30 days in jail." At that point, the man reached down and he unscrewed his hand, which was now obviously an artificial limb. He laid it on the judge's bench and said, "In a month, I'll be back for it." And he started to walk out. And the judge said, "Just not so fast. I sentenced the other hand." This story perhaps can help us remember the gospel we've just heard in this next week. Jesus said in the gospel, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter heaven maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell." And in the Bible, Jesus describes hell as a place of unquenchable fire, and a place, he says, where the worm never dies. Well, I think we can be certain that Jesus didn't mean those words literally. Our Lord was providing a raw metaphor, cutting off your hand, and then other examples, cutting off your foot, and that raw adjective to pluck out your eye, if your eye is causing you to sin. Our Lord is using these raw metaphors to teach us that there may be times in our life when we need to take drastic measures to keep our faith alive. Drastic measures to avoid sin. We may at times need to take drastic measures to keep following him. Sometimes the drastic measures can be equivalent to an amputation to save our soul. There are times when the measures may be just a tweaking. But I can assure you, in our spiritual life, the only constant is change. What do we need to change? To stay better. I'm sure, like me, you've been watching the TV more than usual. It's nice to take a break from presidential politics, which is still over a year away, believe it or not. We've been watching our Holy Father, Pope Francis, in the United States. It never ceases to amaze me. I said this in the funeral for Frank Burrish on Friday. I'll say the same thing to you. It never ceases to amaze me. I can understand Catholics excited about a pope, but it never ceases to amaze me how all the people are interested. Catholics and non-Catholics and unbelievers. I'm reminded time and time again how the world needs a pope, how people need hope, how people need a shepherd, how people need a connection to continue to affect change and improvement and light in their life. It's unreal. And there were a lot of firsts, of course. This is the first pope from the Americas. It's his first trip to America. When he landed, it's the first time ever a president and vice president with their entire families greeted the head of state on the tarmac. Pope Francis canonized San Junipero Serra. It's the first canonization on American soil. It's the first time a pope addressed Congress. And then, after that, our Speaker of the House decided that after he witnessed that, none of his work matters anymore. And he resigned the next day. Let's continue to pray for our Holy Father. I think during these days we've all been proud, haven't we, to be Catholic. My dad sent me a text just randomly the other day. I'm so proud to be Catholic. He must have been watching. Let this visit of Pope Francis to our soil perhaps be a moment of change for all of us. In this season of autumn, we're just less than a week into autumn 2015. As the colors change, as the temperatures change, soon our time will change. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives to direct us to the change we need to be better followers of Jesus. We don't like it always, but it's the only constant. As Cardinal John Newman said so well, in the next world, it is otherwise. But in this world, to live means to change. And to be perfect means to change often. Amen.